Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
Sofa King. No, not so fast.
So.
Loses meaning.
I am. Sofa King.
With retard. You say funny things.
Who's ready to do some spinning shit kicks?
I am.
Yay! Blue Thunder for everybody.
With Yohimbe.
Yohimbe.
Do they still make Blue Thunder?
I would have no idea.
Maybe we get a sponsor, don't. Yeah.
Yeah, we get a Blue Thunder sponsor.
Just make us shit our pants on the show.
If they took out the Yohimbe, it's not worth getting.
Show, it'd be much better.
Is that how you say that? Yohimbe, yeah? That's how you say it?
That's how I say it.
It's African.
Boner roots.
If anybody would know. Dave would know.
Yeah.
It's boner roots?
Yeah, that's for giving you a boner.
What?
No. That's what that's for.
I gave him a fucking...
Did something.
Yeah.
A butt boner.
Made him jump up, spin kick, and fucking shit everywhere.
It was a sports drink, like Gatorade?
No, it was not like a Gatorade. It's like a performance drink, like a protein shake kind of supplement thing.
Name protein shakes blue anything.
This is not sounding so good as a sponsor anymore, guys.
Oh, they have it. They do have it.
Wow. Oh, do they? Let me see the bottle.
Yeah.
It's new old stock.
Oh, that's it. Blue Thunder.
Oh. Yeah, infamous. Blue Thunder.
We've been looking for you for a long time.
So, Eli Gateco, so I went on a water fast, and apparently your butthole forgets. If you go on a water fast. Yeah, I spent, you know, a good couple years now building up my immunity to...
So how long total did your water fast end up being?
7 days and 3 hours.
It's bad he wanted food. He was counting hours.
I just know that, like, I went over... I hadn't made the decision yet, and I was like, there it went. That was 7 days, but maybe I'll go another day. But what really decided, I was going to that comedy show... The next day,
needed to eat,
and I was like, I don't know if I should go out of town on the fast and have my first food be some shit that I have to get, like a fucking turkey sandwich from a liquor store or something might happen, you know. So I wanted to plan what my transition food was going to be. So
I like how you're like immediate, like thinking of food out of town as a turkey sandwich from a liquor store. Like, there's a billion places to eat in Los Angeles.
You don't know what goes down though. You don't always have a choice.
You do.
No,
there's always something open.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's why there's turkey sandwiches at liquor stores, because why the fuck else would anyone buy a turkey sandwich from a liquor store?
Usually that's for early morning, like workers and stuff.
They could have gone somewhere else.
No,
there's always another option. Open. I thought, now there's not options.
Yeah, in the morning, you're there at night. Like, that's different.
No, I was just being safe, sir.
That's different.
So the moral to my story is, though, I had some of that crazy, like, black bean rice hummus thing that I put Tecco all over, all the time. Always do it. Never a problem. Today,
it's a habit to pour half a bottle.
It's a fucking problem. Like, I don't understand how... you know what I think it is, honestly? Like, this is probably too much information, and what a great Eli Gateco shout out. They love us for this.
We're going to send them this clip.
I think...
You guys need marketing clips? We got you.
Well, luckily, I get to pick the clips I send, and this will not be it. I think that food is going through me faster. Like, it's like more efficiently, like... Maybe I was a day behind before from
that's
all the
you
years.
You got the mud out of your guts. That's what happens.
That's when you like you know how like they pick a person in line to see how fast a line's moving? They're like, the guy in the orange shirt made it to the door. There's about an hour wait to get to the door. That's how they do it at Disneyland, right? Yeah. They have like a marker person. Corn is the marker person for poops. So if on,
you eat corn on Monday,
and you're like, you shit on Tuesday, and you're like, I don't see any corn in there.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday you see corn, you're like, oh, I see what's going on here. I kind of know what pace is happening, right? I think what's happening is I got Tuesday corn day. So what's happening is now the techo didn't get to chill around in the digestive process for a whole extra day because I did a food fast.
It didn't break down.
Yeah. And now I moved through and it didn't get to break down as much as it normally would have with my slow digestion. Now I'm more efficient machine.
That's right.
And it burns the shit on my butthole. I gotta step it up to level two.
It's like, it's that saying. It's like shit through a brand.
Yeah, that's a saying. It is. It's an old saying. It has nothing to do with
shit
me.
Through a brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Extremely fast.
Yeah. Sand through an hourglass. So are the days of our lives.
Yeah. It was a guy named Lord Brentley Brownpants.
Yes.
One of his tales. Oh, that's where it came from.
Luckily, that's only happened to me once in my life. It was in the third grade. I had the flu and I threw up Jawbreakers and pooped my pants at the same time. It was rough. Well, in the middle of the school year. But it was after school and no one knew.
That is shit.
My mom knew when I got in the car, though. That's for sure.
Well, El Yucateco doesn't burn Chuck Norris's asshole. Chuck Norris's asshole burns El Yucateco.
That's right. That is right.
That is correct. That's a good transition. Yeah. So our topic today is Carlos Norez.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Mexican boxer.
Carlos Rey Norez.
Yeah, that's true.
Carlos Rey Norez.
Norris, sorry.
I can't say Norris. I can't even say, you say Carlos Rey, you can't say Norris. It's Carlos Rey Norez.
Yeah. So our topic is Chuck Norris. I think it was subliminally.
And we didn't choose Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris chose us.
He did choose us. And the new, like it just came out last week, the new Chuck Norris video game app that Brad and I have been playing all day.
That Brent showed
you're
us.
Welcome. And we I've never stop. Played it. I just sent it to you. Well, I've never looked at it.
Because I got a new phone last Friday and it keeps coming up like in the top new, like new best rated game apps. Like I keep seeing that on my phone.
You saw it.
So I already knew it existed, but I wasn't going to necessarily download it. But now that I have, are you playing it right now?
No, looks like you might be trying.
I'm looking up something.
Dave's such a hipster. He knew about it before it was cool.
Yeah. I didn't even know.
James, the thing is though, it James didn't like the,
what? What's the problem, guys? Go ahead. You can keep going. can't stop playing it.
I wanted to research Chuck Norris and I always open a million tabs in a new window and then I leave that open for however long it takes me to get through all of my research. And one of them, of course, was chucknorris.com. Did any of you guys go to the website?
I did not.
I have to say the opening of going to chucknorris.com is just fucking hot shit. Like you just go to chucknorris.com and like the zoom in animation through the career of Chuck Norris that lands you on the webpage. I was very happy with
it. I think I've only been to chucknorrisfacts.com and that was real big.
I've spent many a night reading those fuckers. Like those are so good.
Oh, this is great. into his cock. Lead you right in, like just fucking spin, like spin right into his dick.
Multiple times. And then into his Texas Ranger stars.
Oh, man.
Not anticipating that.
No, that's
pretty.
I might have to. That's so good. I got to show Brent because
mobile friendly.
Yeah, this is, I don't know. But
it's kind of warm down here tonight.
It's so good.
Zoom in into the crotch. Crotch! Star,
star,
explosion, crotch, bullet hole,
crotch, every time,
crotch, Uzis, bullet holes, Chuck Norris.
Pretty good,
pretty solid.
It's pretty good.
It's exactly what you would expect it to be.
That was better than one of his movies, I have to say. I mean, I don't want to talk shit about Chuck Norris because Chuck Norris, I mean, like the guy is a legend. I mean, fucking like he has an entire website about him, about how he is the strongest man and is invincible and has created like this
meme,
this thing around him. Yeah. Or he didn't do it. Just other people just have. Happened, yeah.
How cool though. That no one has anything.
Yeah.
Like that.
No. But the other thing is too, super nice dude. Super fucking nice guy.
Yeah, it's like everything you read about him. He seems like
he's been super Republican. I mean, you know, it's Walker, Texas Ranger, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, give me a break. Yeah. Do we want to try this whiskey?
Oh yeah. Need to do that.
The Tullamore Dew from Stephen Foster.
Irish whiskey, which is appropriate for the karate leprechaun that we're talking about today. That's a taekwondo leprechaun.
He is a karate leprechaun.
Yeah, the guy that got this whiskey broke my Volkswagen bus.
Broke your bus.
Yeah, he had a Sharpie, a timing light, and a 10 millimeter wrench, and somehow the oil fell out of my bus when he touched it.
That was there before he did it, he says.
I gotta get more. So he says, Stephen Foster.
And then he had to buy you whiskey because he was sad about it, but he didn't do it.
Sounds like a guilty purchase.
You guys had Tullamore Dew before?
I never have.
He was throwing a fit because he said we had to drink this on the rocks, and I told him we don't do that because we're not fucking pussies.
You shouldn't have to be drank on the rocks. It's good whiskey.
I said, we do it this way because we're real men, and we don't have a freezer.
Well, I know a lot of people who are like super whiskey aficionados insist that you put a splash of water in, regardless the quality of the whiskey, because it like brings it alive.
I just spit in there. It's my spit. Whoa. Hey, take it easy. David, try that. Drink that shit.
I just put some spit in it. Is that proper?
Yeah, like, that's proper etiquette.
I got floaties.
That's how the Scottish did it.
Really good.
Yeah, that's good.
It is good. I like Tullamore.
That's really good flavor.
Tullamore Dew is in
it is regular, twisty cap.
Twisty cap, but it's in regular rotation at my house. It's not that expensive for the quality of it.
What all do you have? I took a little peek in Brad's whiskey cabinet there at home. It runs deep. There's a bunch of stuff back there, man.
There's more, too.
Yeah.
That's where I could stuff in there. That's all.
You should see where he keeps the bodies.
Yeah.
Dave, you have that crazy one in the skull or whatever, right? What's your craziest whiskey you have at home?
The Black Arts.
Yeah, that's the one in the skull, yeah?
No, it's not in a skull. It's just a black bottle with a pentagram on it.
Oh, that's what it was.
Ooh, why is that not down here?
Because it's mine, motherfucker. Because how much does that cost?
Fucking $400 bottle of scotch.
Yes.
Let me pose that question again. Why is that not down here?
Because Sid has keys to the shop.
Right. Oh, Mr. Freckles. What's his name? Mr. Freckles. Freckles. Yeah, likes to drink the whiskey.
Yeah.
We'll just pour Tillamore Dew back.
That's
in
a good. That actually has a good aftertaste. Like just letting it set. Like, yeah, it's good.
No, it's a good whiskey. Yeah, it's not that expensive.
Tullamore Mountain Dew. That's going to be the drink. You can mix it. That's Brad's favorite.
Tullamore Mountain Dew. Yeah.
So, okay. So, Chuck Norris.
You can't mix whiskey and Mountain Dew.
Thanks for breaking my bus, Stephen Foster, and for the whiskey.
So, Chuck Norris, website is dope. I hope you guys all go and Paul. I actually put it in my notes as the first thing to mention was
They're gonna be like, whoa, where'd all these fucking views come from? All of a sudden there's fucking crazy hits. And then they're gonna link it back to us and we're talking shit about fucking the leprechaun fucking taekwondo master.
Come and whoop our ass.
Yeah. That'd be cool though. Yeah, I like to get kicked in the roundhouse.
I'd love
in the face
to get my
Chuck
ass
Norris.
By Chuck Norris.
They should make a movie like The Elf, like how Will Ferrell was the giant elf. They should do the Leprechaun movie with Chuck Norris, though, where all the leprechauns are in their little dwellings, Chuck Norris is like the giant big brother that can't sit at the table. He's all bent over inside of a tree, like hunkered over some porridge.
Problem is, I don't think he has that sense of humor. No, you know what I mean? Like we're gonna talk about him on this show.
He was in Dodgeball. He does stuff like that.
Yeah, but they're probably just like, hey, and he's like, hey, you know, thumbs up, guys. Like he's just not.
Even like a pretty famous video who's like on Sport World or some ESPN sport thing, and they actually had him read some of his own.
That was funny. Yeah,
he's funny. He has a sense of humor. But man, TMZ, those motherfuckers are assholes.
Well, TMZ.
They caught that fucker shaved like.
Yeah, that he's
walking
old.
Around the beach. Yeah. Yeah, we know he's old, but damn, you know
he's 77.
Yeah, give me a fucking break.
70 fucking seven.
Yeah,
but man, shaving made him look 1,000 times fucking older though. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's because it's fucking just for men.
Yeah.
So Chuck Norris was named actually Carlos Norris, Carlos Ray Norris, born in Ryan, Oklahoma in 1940. And he was named apparently after his father's minister, whose name was Carlos Berry. So his father took the Carlos and gave it to his kid. That is kind of strange. He was a self-described shy kid in school who never excelled in anything. He wasn't into sports. He wasn't into academics. He just kind of got through the day. His mother was Irish and English, which is why he's got the leprechaun side of him. And apparently his father was Cherokee.
He claims so.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how Cherokee he was.
Chuck Norris just like turquoise jewelry. And so he had to work it. He had to have an excuse. Yeah.
Just wearing turquoise belts and fucking bracelets and necklaces. Yeah.
It's my papa.
Some Steven Seagal shit. That's just the thing.
But his father was also an alcoholic who divorced him. And again, this is
Chuck or his mom?
Divorced Chuck. Yeah. It was rough. You guys might be able to shed light on this because I read two different articles. One article said that Chuck's father got a divorce from his mom and they moved to Torrance in California when Chuck was 16. And I read another article that said that same exact thing, except it was when Chuck was 10.
I have 16.
Okay.
I'm going to say 16 too.
Okay.
I'm just going with
16. Survey says
16.
I'll take anal bum coverage for 200.
I saw both of them, wrote them down just so we could one star.
You saw both anal bum covers?
I saw both anal bum covers. And the B-side, if you know what I mean. So he ends up growing up when he's 16, he goes to California, and then as soon as he's old enough, he joins the army.
It's like the Clampets.
Yeah, it is.
I watched a documentary on him, like probably almost damn near 2 hours long, but they were talking about, they were poverty. Like they were super poor. Yeah, the mom, she did a bunch of different jobs. I was waiting for her to say like prostitution, like it was that bad.
Right.
But it was waitressing.
He was so quiet too, and introverted, because his dad had alcoholic bouts for months at a time.
Yeah.
He'd be on the wagon, off the wagon, and he was like embarrassed of his dad. So it chased him through life. It's like kind of surprising that he became an actor, to be honest, right, because he wasn't socialized at all because he was embarrassed of his dad.
And even that, it took him a long time for them to convince him to act.
Right.
Because he was a pretty hot shit martial artist, and everybody was like, dude, you need to start making movies. And he had no desire to.
Yeah.
Is that just, he's very much a quiet, introverted person. So in 1958, he marries his high school sweetheart and he joins the U.S. Air Force. I'm sorry, I said Army, it's Air Force. He joins the Air Force and he gets assigned to Osan Air Base in South Korea. And his main role is he's part of the security police. So he's like the MP, he's the cop, he's the guy who's making sure that the drunk, you know, airman.
Walker, Texas.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, but in Korea.
In Korea, right. So, but the problem is he didn't know how to fight. So he said in one snippet that I saw with him, he said that he didn't like the fact that every time he had to confront somebody from the base and get them back to base because they were drunk and disorderly or whatever, he couldn't take anybody. So he always had to draw down on them.
Right.
Like he always had to draw a weapon. He always had to subdue them at fucking gunpoint. And he said he didn't like that because these were his.
Yeah.
These are his people.
You still want to have respect for. You want to put him in a chokehold instead of.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't pull a gun on him. Choke your buddy.
So at that point, he starts studying Tang Soo Do and Taekwondo, which are both Korean martial arts, and he's studying them off base in Korea, probably at a pretty fucking legit, crazy ass dojo, I would have to guess.
Yeah. He did that. He did a little bit of jiu-jitsu. He did a little bit of judo. He got his brown belt in judo. While he had his black belt in Taekwondo. So
as of now, like what I read is his style, Chun Kuk Do, he's 10th degree black belt.
He is the grandmaster.
Right, he's the grandmaster.
Yeah.
He's a 9th degree in Tang Soo Do, an 8th degree in Taekwondo, a 5th degree in karate, a 3rd degree in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And apparently he studied with the Gracies in like 82.
Yeah.
Like fucking total hipster, like before the Gracies were anything but badasses in Brazil. He flew to Brazil to get a fucking black belt with them because he heard hot shit about these guys.
Well, he's got a black belt in judo. He made that one up. Mm-hmm. That's his universal way. That's his Bruce Lee art.
So, I mean, again, like the reason we're talking about him isn't because of the memes. It isn't because of his fucking funny, like whatever. Like, cause I think I was at the right age that when Chuck Norris was just getting big in movies, like I already knew who he was because of his martial arts prowess.
Yeah.
Like he was already famous as a martial artist and he was a legit martial artist.
I'm not trying to take anything away though, but he always just does that high kick. Like do you think they were handing out some belts maybe a little bit on that? Cause he was already fucking Chuck motherfucking Norris. Like he shows up and like, there's some honorary.
No.
Like,
cause the thing is, cause when I was looking into his competition, like he started and for years, he just constantly got his ass whooped. Like he would sign up for competitions.
His first
and he would
two
lose.
Tournaments. Yeah. He lost. Yeah.
And he kept studying. Cause it's like, I mean, when you look, I mean, a lot of his movies are just so poorly filmed and poorly choreographed. You can't really tell if he's a good fighter or not.
Well, and that's the thing. Like,
yeah, they want what looks good on film versus really, what might be functional.
Yeah, it's really hard to gauge his actual talent because yeah, you see it in a movie or you see it on Walker, Texas Ranger where he's faking a kick. He's not really kicking a dude.
Yeah.
But then you have, what's the comparison? Fucking Jackie Chan, where right. shit's crazy, you know, fucking Jet Li.
To me,
you know,
to be honest.
I mean, Steven Seagal.
I mean you can find some, you find some old like footage of him at the tournaments and you're like, no, yeah. this motherfucker knows how to fight.
Yeah. So he's six time world karate champion.
Yep.
I mean, that's just 6 years in a row, world karate champion. Like,
right.
That's no easy feat.
No, that's not.
Regardless feat. Whether they're not really killing each other or not, that's at a world level. That's past the international level. Mm-hmm. That's a world level.
And at
level.
The time, that would be equivalent of like UFC or something because that there, wasn't anything
there wasn't
like
anything
like that.
No.
So, like,
and he's the fucking gringo.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell you, in 68, there weren't a whole lot of white people in yeah, those right. fucking
and
competitions.
And I can tell you, like, you know, somebody
especially
who's
not gingers, like,
yeah, somebody yeah. who's a world champion in judo,
right?
Motherfucker's bad,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somebody who's an Olympic champion, yeah. bad motherfucker. Yep. Like, in real life, would fuck you up.
Would
like,
fuck you up.
Like,
yeah.
even though it's a sport and, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's a.
Wait, Brad, aren't you a world champion in judo?
No.
No?
I'm not world
would
champion.
Would you win?
Fuck,
you won something.
No.
Would you win
nationals?
Oh, national champion. Yeah. Make sure you get your credit.
He'd still fuck me up.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, he fought big dudes like Joe Louis and Alan Steen, who were big. They both whooped his ass, but then he came back and whooped them, and they couldn't take the title. He was, before he was doing movies or anything, he was named Black Belt Magazine's Martial Artist of the Year in 1969. He never lost the belt in 74. He just yeah. decided to give the belt up so yeah. he could pursue acting.
He gave it to, that's when he gave it to Macho Man Randy Savage.
That's right
at that time.
That's right.
That's when yeah. he got it.
Brother Love officiated yeah. the ceremony.
Yep. And to me, it's always hard to assess a martial artist based on what you see on the screen. But again, yeah. when you see that kind of record of actual competition and him opening dojos and training people, it's like, this motherfucker's a martial artist. And when you have that many yeah. degrees legitimately, like, you know your shit. And to me personally, and it might just be because I put Bruce Lee on such a pedestal, but when you watch him and Bruce Lee fight in the Colosseum in Way of the Dragon / Return of the Dragon, whichever yeah. you decide to call it.
Yeah.
It really shows that this motherfucker knows how to fight.
Yeah. And he had, the interesting thing about that is him and Bruce Lee were friends.
Mm-hmm.
They trained together for about 2 years in Los Angeles. Like they were training partners.
Right.
And completely different styles, you right. know what I mean? And so that was probably
Chuck
insanely
was teaching
fun.
Out of his backyard. This is yeah. like back before
but
they were really
Bruce Lee was
like
doing
that.
The same thing.
Yeah.
So like, and then Bruce Lee goes to Hong Kong to pursue his movie career.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years later, you know, Carlos hasn't heard from him, hasn't seen him. And he gets a phone call and says, hey, we're going to shoot this movie. Me and you are going to fight in the Coliseum.
Right.
And,
Chuck Norris said, who wins?
Well, that's when they were going. They were, yeah, right. they improvised everything, and Bruce Lee tells him like, "Hey, I'm not going to dominate this fight like I normally do." And that's when yeah. Carlos says, "You know who wins?" And he said, "Well, I do.
I'm the
you
star
know?
Of the movie.
I'm yeah, the I'm star of the movie. Yeah, you don't
yeah,
win.
Yeah.
So, but that's how much respect.
I love that he grabbed his chest hair. That part
oh,
was so good.
Yeah.
Man, if you haven't seen this scene,
it's good.
A great fucking scene. They take their shirts off and they're stretching and they're mad dogging each other. It's very much filmed like a Western, like they're getting ready. Yeah. And like he takes his fucking
dude, Chuck
gi
Norris
off.
Has more hair on his shoulders than most dudes have on their chest.
Dude, I know. Yeah. I was like,
yeah, he's a bear.
He took his gi off and I thought he didn't take his gi off.
Yeah.
Like you took off your white gi, you're still wearing that brown one.
Yeah.
But he's just got mad red hair. And the scene, I rewatched that scene while I was researching, and
it's
the scene is so fucking great.
Up.
So fucking great. Like yeah. it opens with Bruce Lee walking up to the Coliseum. And even the way it's filmed is so bizarre. And like he's walking up and he's like kind of sketchy, and Bruce Lee like walks and he's like looking around this staircase to go up these stairs. And this poor fucking cat, some like production assistant just throws a cat down the stairs, and you just see it in the film tumble because it just gets thrown.
Yeah.
And then it lands and takes off.
I mean, this is they can do that.
Right.
You know,
right.
They're not American.
So then they like chase each other down through the Coliseum,
that
all
was dinner
slow,
later.
Yeah.
slow and creepy. And then when they finally get to fight, they take all their shirts off. They're stretching and like mad dogging each other. And then right before they fight, a fucking kitten crawls into the scene, and the whole scene is punctuated by shots to this kitten who's watching the fight. And it's so bizarre. Do you guys remember the kitten?
I don't remember.
It's so bizarre. And at one point when they're like one of them's been knocked down and the fight's getting real, and they do like an old Western style, like double pan onto like Bruce Lee's face. And then they do it onto Chuck Norris's face. And then they fucking do it to the kitten's face. The same double pan. And
I'm the director is just fucking on one. He's just like fucking, yeah.
But they fight, and like you can, the fight looks improvised.
Right.
Stationary camera. The moves are badass, and you see Bruce throwing some fast shit, and Chuck is blocking it.
Right.
And you see Bruce throwing some shit, or some Chuck throwing some shit that it looks like Bruce barely got out of the way of. And it's like, wow, these are two bad motherfuckers right here fighting each other.
Well, and that's what I was saying about the respect that Bruce Lee had for Chuck Norris, was that that fight scene was, you know, not just him dominating an opponent, you know, like he had that respect for him to let him fight, you know, and show his skill
and even
and put him on that level.
Even towards the end, he kind of makes fun of Bruce Lee a little bit in the fight scene, because Bruce Lee's got his like jumping style that he does. He's always hopping. And then at one point, it's like Chuck Norris has this, like, I'm gritted down to the ground style. And he keeps looking at Bruce Lee hopping. And then at one point he starts trying to do the Bruce Lee hop, like fucking with Bruce Lee. But I mean, it's a good fight scene.
It's Harrison Ford Indiana Jones scene with the sword fighter and the pistol.
Yeah. Basically. So, but long about this time, so Chuck Norris is opening dojos. In total, throughout like this era, as the movies are just starting, he opens something like 30 studios.
Yeah, three is what I read. And a company approached him and said, sell us your dojo and we'll open 1,000.
And you'll get 2%.
So they're like
2%. So he said, 2% of 1,000 is better than 100% of 3.
Right.
And then he said, okay, I'll sell. He sold, and then they all went bankrupt.
Yeah, they fucked up. Okay. Yeah.
Fucked it up.
So, but while he was doing it, he had some celebrities. And again, this is in the 60s. Odd celebrities like Priscilla Presley and Donnie and Marie Osmond. Yeah. But he also trained Bob Barker from The Price is Right. So don't fuck with Bob
Steve
Barker.
McQueen.
And he trained Steve McQueen, the action star.
Was Elvis
Steve
still
McQueen.
Alive? Right then? When did Elvis die?
He should have still been alive.
When did he allegedly die? Because he used to talk about karate or something too, right?
He didn't die till the 70s. I'm going to say Elvis died in like 71?
Uh-huh.
70?
Judo chop, man.
I don't know.
Judo chop.
But Steve McQueen, he trains Steve McQueen in L.A., and Steve McQueen is the one who convinces him.
That's the cartoon race car, right?
Yeah.
Lightning McQueen.
That's Lightning McQueen.
Right. Yes.
That's it's his dad.
Based off the character.
His dad. Yeah. His dad, Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen fucked a Prius.
Yeah. Yes.
And then that was
right in the tailpipe.
That was their offspring.
Yeah.
So he ends up getting into the movies. And he had, like I said, Way of the Dragon, a.k.a. Return of the Dragon, was really what put him on the map. But
hey, did you know if you feed a full-grown horse one of Chuck Norris's chest hairs, it will immediately ejaculate a full-grown horse? That's the truth.
I didn't know that.
Those are all true.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the things.
What he said was that when he was teaching Steve McQueen, and he said he was barely making enough money, you know, to feed his family. You know, he had kids, a wife, and he's teaching these celebrities in their backyards. You know, same thing Bruce Lee was doing,
right?
Which seemed to be a popular thing because they didn't have, you know, karate schools and all this stuff. Like, it wasn't as popular as it is now. And Steve McQueen was the one that actually said, hey, like, you ever thought about acting?
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, it's just not my thing, you know? And so he ended up, looking up, like, you know, how much it was to acting school. And it was like $600 a month, and he's barely making it as it is, you know? But he ends up going to this audition. He said he walks in and there's all these guys there that, oh, I recognize you from this show and this. And he's like, I can't, how am I going to do this? You know? So then he said he just went back and wrote his own script and presented his own movie. And that's how he got started in acting.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. He just made his own, he just wrote his own script. And somebody took a gamble.
Was that Breaker?
No. I have to look up the name of the first movie, but
because I remember,
the Octagon was like his third movie.
Because Breaker is the first one I have.
His acting debut was in The Wrecking Crew with Dean Martin, 1969. That was his first movie. I didn't read about him writing his own thing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He said that. Yeah, he said the way he really got into it, because the other way wasn't going to work, because there was already so many, you know, professionally trained actors, so many people out there. He ended up just writing his own script and you know, getting investors, and they said they literally. The first movie they made it They spent $1 million on it, and then they would actually have to rent out theaters to play their movie. And then they would collect the money at the door and send, like, they would do it in a town where they had multiple theaters. They would actually send the money back to a hotel room where his brother sat and would count the money.
Yeah, his brother was the producer.
Yeah. And so they made, off that first movie that cost $1 million, they made $28 million.
Fuck.
So right away, the investors are probably like, bam. Yeah. Well, you know, even though it's not, you know, blockbuster $100 million, $200 million right now,
that's
$28 million back in the day.
Yep.
Pretty good amount.
Pretty good. So, and the thing, because I remember, like, I, at this time, there was a complete drought of martial arts films. Like, there would be the stray thing that would show up on Saturday morning that came over from China and made no fucking sense. But as far as an American audience wanting to see martial arts films, they just were not being produced. And this is one of the reasons. I mean, people look at Chuck Norris and they picture Walker, Texas Ranger, and they picture the Chuck Norris that is kind of the spoof of what Chuck Norris is,
right?
More than like these early Chuck Norris movies. And man, some of these early Chuck Norris movies were you watching an hour and 20 minutes of dog shit to see a 7-minute kick fight.
Yeah.
Like
the Nicolas Cage of his time.
Yeah. So he was in a few movies before that. Obviously The Wrecking Crew, The Way of the Dragon, Breaker, but the one that he wrote was called Black Tigers, and he played John T. Booker, and then A Force of One and The Octagon. Those are like his first three. Those are the ones that he did himself and, wrote them and acted in them,
right,
and started really doing his own thing.
And after that first one, he got picked up by the Cannon Group, which made like mid-range, you know, action movies, and they were looking for a new martial arts star, and they basically signed on with him to be their guy. So most of the stuff, and his brother Aaron was always the producer on the film. So most of the stuff in the late 70s and early 80s, The Octagon, Good Guys Wear Black, A Force
of Black
One.
That's Black Tigers, yeah.
That's Black Tigers?
Yeah, they changed the name. I don't know why, but yeah, The Good Guys Wear Black.
Because he did that, and I was tripping because that was in 1978, and then the sequel, A Force of One, came out in 1979. Like, they just fucking knocked it right out.
One and two.
Yeah. But to give you an idea of the type of plots, if you haven't watched many old Chuck Norris movies, I just want to read you the breakdown according
to Google. Saving a girl in the jungle, right? And you blow up Jeeps? Like, that's pretty much that.
Well, listen to this one. This is for Breaker.
Okay.
And if this description doesn't make you want to watch this movie, I don't know what
I need
will.
You to do it in a voice. Go ahead.
This is going to be like a Nicolas Cage movie.
In a world. In a world. Tough guy trucker J.D. Dawes drives his big rig to a little desert town and smack in the middle of a cesspool of criminality, all to rescue his brother Billy, who has been kidnapped.
Billy.
But the perpetrators are not ordinary criminals. A wicked public servant, Judge Joshua Trimmings, runs the town and especially hates truckers. The judge and his minions do their best to break Dawes down, but Dawes retaliates with swift, severe vengeance.
Dad, vengeance.
No. That's the plot to Breaker.
I have no idea what you said. I was too busy making background noises.
Brothers kidnapped.
Can you read it again?
Yeah.
Brothers kidnapped. Judge, who especially hates truckers, fucks with Chuck Norris because he's a trucker trying to rescue his brother, and then he kicks everybody in the chest.
So it's like, Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah, '77. That probably was riding the Smokey and the Bandit coattail.
Yeah, he was in a Camaro, not a Firebird.
Like, at some point, he had to arm wrestle at a diner to make enough money to get gas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, trust me, these early movies are fucking awful. Even like, so the Octagon. Let me read you the plot to The Octagon. Scott James, a veteran martial arts expert, is recruited as the protector of the wealthy and beautiful Justine after she becomes the target of a ninja clan.
Yeah.
Fucking happens.
Like you do.
When Scott finds out that his ruthless arch nemesis, McCarn, played by Lee Van Cleef, is involved with the stealthy and dangerous criminals, he's eager to settle old scores. Soon Scott is facing off against McCarn and the entire ninja horde in an effort to take them all down. That was The Octagon, 1980. Now, I remember The Octagon very fondly because that was the first time in my life I ever saw a ninja.
Really?
Like, that was it. Like, that was
American Ninja.
That was where ninjas got like introduced to the West, to the Octagon. That was where most people learned of the ninja. And it was like, fuck, ninjas are crazy. Only Chuck Norris can beat a ninja.
When I was like in the first grade, my buddy had like tabby boots and a fucking ninja suit and shit. And he'd like run down my fucking brick wall. And I wanted like tabby boots so fucking bad. He was like swearing to me he could like walk on a rope because he had those boots. I was like, nah.
No, you can't.
I wanted that shit though. Right. he had ninja stars. I don't know where the fuck he got that shit. Parents were awesome.
Did
he have real ninja stars?
Yeah, like real ones, like not the ones I made out of fucking tomato soup can lids.
The real ones with like those dragon logos on them.
Yeah, they like got them at the swap meet. The guy wasn't supposed to sell them to him.
Right, right. So that was it. Like by 1983 is really when people started to quit. Like, I mean, if Rotten Tomatoes was up, he would have gotten pretty Rotten Tomatoes on all these fucking movies. The one of the movies where people started to finally say he was actually halfway capable of acting was Lone Wolf McQuade, which came out in 1983, which is really the predecessor for Walker, Texas Ranger, because he plays the Texas Ranger. Robert Beltrans of Star Trek Voyager fame plays like a local cop, and the two of them have to fight the villain, who is David Carradine, a.k.a. Bill from Kill Bill.
And fucking Kung Fu.
And Kung Fu, But that was his first role as a villain. But that was really when people started to think he was okay. Then he started doing Missing in Actions, which was like a homage to POWs in Vietnam. And apparently one of his brothers died in Vietnam, and that was why they wanted to make those
His movies. Brother was named after a beer. That's why. Chuck got named after the fucking priest. He lived. His brother got named after beer and died.
What was his brother's name?
Wayland something?
Wayland.
Yeah.
Oh, Wayland.
Wayland Orange.
After some weird beer,
Oh,
his other brother went on to become the producer of
his other brother,
Texas Ranger.
Yeah. Aaron became
the only two movies,
brother, whatever his name is. That guy.
The only Chuck Norris movies that are on Netflix is The Good Guys Wear Black and The Way of the Dragon.
Yeah. Well,
I was hoping I could watch some Delta Force, like a bunch of shit tonight.
Yeah,
I'm sure you can.
I even looked on some Netflix streaming apps. Cody. I'm there. I'll have to download them. Yeah.
His mom was saying that like when he was young, he had to watch his brothers. And she would even come home and like he's rocking the young brother to sleep, you know. Then the Waylon, they were really, really close. And so when he went off to Vietnam and got killed, he said that was like the roughest time of his life. Like
right.
That was like he was kind of the father figure, you know, that dad left.
I mean,
it's kind of like his son, even though it was his brother. You
basically,
know?
I mean, he had already gone to Korea in 1958.
Yeah.
You know, he was already like doing martial arts tournaments he was already doing movies and shit.
And actually, Waylon was his, I keep calling him Waylon. I think I'm saying it wrong.
No, it's Waylon.
It was his first black belt that he actually was his black belt underneath him.
Yeah, they have an annual award. It's actually like
the Waylon
Norris Award.
Waylon Norris Award, yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah, they do. And they said, too, that Chuck Norris has always been, what is it, the Make-A-Wish Foundation?
Yeah.
Always had, you know, he's done over 500 Make-A-Wishes, like the kids would come to sets of the movies or whatever. Pretty cool. I mean, like,
he befriended George Bush Sr. and they did like a physical education program where they implemented in like 40 inter-district schools.
Inner city.
The Make-A-Wish thing was actually like my nemesis as I was... It was my David Carradine as I was like trying to research, because like 3 out of 4 things. Well, actually, so were the memes.
You try to find
things about Chuck Norris's past and history. It's like it's one thing about funny memes about, you know, Chuck Norris facts. It's 2 things about him visiting cancer survivors. And then there's 1 article about Chuck Norris himself, because apparently it's like widespread. And it's not even just kids. It's like I was reading articles about him, like full adults who have terminal cancer that just love Chuck Norris movies, and he would like fly out of his way and go visit them and whatever. But like, he's really big on giving
make
back.
A wish. If you type a basement into Craigslist, all you'll get is RV campers. I don't know why the fuck that happens, but like I'm saying that because that pissed me off, because at one point in time when I was trying to look for a new place to live, I was like, that'd be badass if it had a basement. I could put mats down there, we could roll, or I could have movies, you know. torture people. It could be the room where the kids aren't allowed, masturbatorium. Right,
all that stuff.
There's lots of reasons. Barrels, acid, you know, whatnot.
The usual.
But if you look up basement on Craigslist, it comes up with RVs. I don't know what the fuck. Why? That's pages and weird. Pages of RVs. Like somehow that keyword goes in there.
Hmm. ChuckNorrisFacts.com is gone. I would think somebody would have kept that.
Maybe it got sued.
I started watching. Also, there's a documentary called Chuck Norris versus Communism that was pretty interesting.
That was his documentary that he made. He actually made that documentary.
What
was
Did he produce about? It?
I think so. Yeah.
It's about people in like Eastern Europe. During a specific time, during like the 80s, there was a dictator who outlawed like fucking everything. Like you couldn't even watch video that contained produce on shelves of American grocers, like shelves, because it looked too bountiful and portrayed the Western world in a positive light. So they would have these illegal underground, like video nights, they called them. And they were interviewing people talking about how it was like, you get in trouble. It's fucking illegal. But they would get these counterfeit movies and they would like, this guy's like, I watched Top Gun 38 times, like 9.5 weeks. Like, so they watched like the movies that were popular during the 80s. And it was like this big like movement. So I don't know that it really focuses on Chuck Norris so much, but I think they just kind of called it like Chuck Norris versus Communism because it was action movies. That was definitely not something you're supposed to watch as like, you know, an American kicking ass and winning.
Yeah. And that was the thing. Like for me, like I said, there were no martial arts movies and Chuck Norris was knocking one out a year.
Yeah. Back then it was just Kung Fu, like overdub.
Yeah. It was overdub shit just coming Jackie overseas Chan. And there was Chuck Norris and there wasn't shit else. Yeah. I mean, Bruce Lee made a couple and then died.
Right.
But there just wasn't anything else going on. I mean,
his big first move was kicking that crazy sidekick through the windshield of the fucking car. Did you guys see that? That was a big fucking deal back then.
Yeah. But he kept making them.
I guess that pissed people off. Like they were like, no way.
That was
like
a perfectly good windshield. Yeah. Right.
Insurance companies are just mad all over the world.
But then Delta Force was huge. Like that was really his first big success. And that was in 86. Delta Force is like a really big movie. And then the next couple of movies were big.
Yeah.
And again, since he was with this small film group, his brother was the producer. So unlike a lot of action stars who just like got screwed by the entire production company, he actually made a lot of money on all of his films because he and his brother were calling the shots and dealing with a smaller distributor.
Yeah. And they said he's worth about what, $70 million now. Like, I mean, that's pretty decent.
Yeah.
That's comfortable living. You know?
Yeah.
And he's 77 and his wife, I mean, for the age they are, like, I think she has to be younger, I would think.
Yeah, I saw when they were introduced and whatnot, because like, he was so accomplished in doing all these things, but there was still something where he was just like this sense of emptiness, and someone said, you know what it is, like, you don't have a girlfriend, like, you're not married, you know? And so someone, I can't remember who it was another big star, like, it might have been Sylvester Stallone or someone introduced him to his wife.
Yeah, it wasn't Sylvester Stallone, no.
Yeah, it was another major actor said, this is what's up, I know a girl, and then they met, and like, I guess it's funny, like, he I saw an interview with him, the way he how do you ask someone to marry you? Yeah.
Propose.
Fuck, I cannot think of the word.
Yeah, and it was fucked up too.
Like, yeah, he just said, hey, I got like 6 week break between here and there. We could probably pull off a wedding. Like, you think you could pull that off in 6 weeks? She's like, pull what off? Are you asking something? Like, will you marry me? Like, can we do it in 6 weeks? She's like, yeah, I guess so. He's like, okay, cool.
She's lucky he just didn't punch her.
Yeah, he could have.
This is my punch posal.
Should just hit her on the head and drag her away by the hair.
Just roundhouse her. Yeah, it's caveman style.
Now we're married.
Yeah. A boot just hits her in the face and she's wearing a ring somehow.
And they're like three states away. Like, not even. Yeah.
Just like, they were on the phone, actually. They're on the phone and a boot just came out of the mouthpiece.
Whack.
And then she looked down at her hand all dizzy. When the stars cleared, there was a ring.
A signed wedding certificate swirling through the air.
Yeah, she was pregnant and there was a ring on her finger.
Yeah.
Over the phone.
And then she immediately birthed the full grown horse.
Like, and then said, oh, Chuck.
But it didn't faze her because she'd been with Chuck Norris.
Yeah. She
didn't even feel it. Horse just there.
But no, his philanthropy is pretty hot shit. In 92, he started a charitable organization called Kickstart. That was what he started with George Bush. And it basically provides free martial arts training to middle school kids in poor areas.
They were just handing out purple belts and shit. That was kind of like, everybody got a belt?
The whole idea was to train them.
It's an accomplishment, you know.
Like, to train them to get some respect and discipline and build up their self-esteem, which is really what martial arts
is. We're going to teach these black kids how to act right.
I don't know if I'm surprised George Bush signed off on that. So you want to teach a lot of minorities how to fight?
Yeah. Like, that's going to be bad news in the future there, Chuck.
Oh, don't worry, George. You'll draft them all anyway,
no,
George.
No, it's going to be 1 week. I'm going to give them their black belt. They're going to think they know how to fight and we'll fuck them up.
That's right. Or we'll just make sure they all go into the army.
Yeah.
But so yeah, he ends up developing his style, Chun Kuk Do, which I always just read as Chuck
Kundo.
Chuck Kundo, yeah. Just because of the way it's like written, I always see Chuck.
Yeah, I do too. It's Chuck yeah. Kundo.
Chun yeah. No, just like Chuck Do is what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
Chuck Nundo.
Yeah, so Chuck Do, and it's basically, and I haven't really seen the style myself.
It's a mixture of Taekwondo, Judo, and Jiu-Jitsu. So okay. Because Taekwondo is mostly kicking. Mm-hmm. They've added a lot of striking and whatnot into it. And then also throws and groundwork stuff. So.
And it definitely shows in his style. I mean, that's what he's famous for in all the movies is his kicks.
He's a 10th degree in his own style.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that. He just promoted himself. He's like,
yeah, and the thing is that
he was actually given that title, like they have a board and everything, so so it wasn't like he just gave himself.
I bet he knows a guy though.
He probably knows a guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he knows a guy.
But I mean, that's like saying like, you know, the founder of judo isn't a 10th Dan because he gave himself the belt. You know, so or the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, he's a red belt. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So,
but like I said, once you've got a 9th degree belt in Tang Soo Do, an 8th in Taekwondo, 5th in Karate, 3rd in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, like that 10th doesn't seem like you were really fucking making shit up. Like,
I got a 3rd in Top Ramen and a 4th in Hot Pocket, man.
he earned himself a lot of degrees. So then I looked, and did you guys read the code of Chuck Do? Because it's kind of
developing yourself to the maximum potential.
It's kind of weird, yeah. Like, he's got, 10 checklists? I will develop myself to the maximum of my potential in all ways. I will forget the mistakes of the past and press on to greater achievements. I will continually work at developing love, happiness, and loyalty in my family. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where the punching people comes in. I will look for the good in all people and make them feel worthwhile.
Yeah.
Before I punch them. If I have nothing good to say about a person, I will say nothing.
Before I punch them.
while I punch them. I will always be as enthusiastic about the success of others as I am about my own. And then punch them. That's a good dojo vibe. I will maintain an attitude of open-mindedness.
Mm-hmm. And closed fist.
I will maintain respect for those in authority and demonstrate this respect at all times.
Your mind will be open. Your fist will be closed.
See?
That's not a bad version.
It's not bad at all. And then the next one's, I don't know, Chuck.
Like, is this where he goes David Icke on us?
Yeah, no, like, he goes Toby Keith.
The first 8, I'm like, I'm cool. Yeah. If my sensei was saying that, like, even if I'm not,
is this
I'm
George
like,
Strait where the sidewalk
this.
Ends? Yeah. Like,
so number 9, I will always remain loyal to my God, my country, family, and friends.
That makes sense.
He was in the military.
I mean, and he's super Christian. Yeah.
And I will remain highly goal oriented throughout my life because that positive attitude helps my family, my country, and myself.
Yeah. 11, kill black people. So. But anyway.
And 12, gays don't marry. Yeah. Like, that was another. Yeah. Unfortunately, he's gone on record trying to shoot that down. Yeah. Quite
well,
often,
I mean, you can't follow people. That's their religion. You know what I mean? Like, everybody has their own beliefs, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
so he's politically conservative, very pro America, very NRA gun rights.
Very. I don't got a problem with him.
No, I don't. He supports a lot of presidential elections, Second Amendment, NRA, you know, all kinds of stuff. He did go on record because he kind of thought Jade Helm was going to be a thing when it was going down, because he writes a column for World Net Daily, which is kind of
the Inquirer,
like a conservative, like highly Christian kind of a online magazine. And he writes for that about being a true patriot and loving Jesus. And he went on
the campaign trail with Huckabee.
Huckabee. Yeah. And like I said, in 2008, he was one of the only and the first members in show business to publicly support California was Prop 8, which was the ban on same-sex mm-hmm. marriage. So he's obviously against same-sex marriage.
Which, I mean, yeah, you that's what you'd peg him for, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if he's, you know, and again, I mean, he might not even, like, when I see somebody like that, I'm like, maybe he really believes that.
You know why?
And maybe he knows his base believes that.
That's because he's a leprechaun and the rainbow gives away where his pot of gold is at.
Yeah. We have no rainbows in California, friends. Yeah. No rainbows. It wasn't about the gays. It was about banning rainbows.
Just the rainbows.
It's got nothing against gays.
He loves the gays. Loves the gays. It's just that their emblem, their
if you guys did a different symbol, I'd be fine.
Yeah. If it was like a unicorn, he's
he'd
great.
He'd be good.
Yeah, he's great.
He'd be good. Yeah, I have no problem.
Yeah, but the actual rainbow offended him, and so he just went against it full on.
Me pot of gold.
And he's written a lot of books. Some of them are like martial arts type books. Some of them are kind of self-help books, and now more of them are kind of Christian wackadoo kind of books. But
yeah,
he keeps writing books.
Keep it close, you know.
He has martial arts in the bedroom and then martial arts in the kitchen. He has like a whole household thing. It's kind of weird.
Hey, you chop up your carrots. He's
like
fucking fisting them. Here's how you tenderize the meat.
His is mostly feet though. So he's probably got like knife shoes.
No, not in his style. They punch. Like that's the thing.
Yeah. Not a Chuck Norris. He got mm-hmm.
he's doing axe kicks.
He's got a kick. Yeah exactly. Roundhouse. He's got knife
shoes. Well, he throws up the meat and then roundhouse kicks it into the wall. Yeah. Like just smash.
It slides
like,
down and catches the platter.
Yeah. And then, yeah, it comes right in the pan. Yeah.
He's like, this chili's really got a kick. Stuff like that.
Oh. Thankfully, he's never big on puns.
He didn't surf up,
pal. It wasn't one of those. Hit you with the surfboard.
No, he didn't. He let Arnold handle all that.
Hey, like these kicks. try this shoe on for size.
How's this for anal fisting?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's like a...
that really threw you guys for a loop. Yeah. You weren't expecting.
That just gave me a bad mental image.
Because you can't stop him.
Yeah, I can't stop
Chuck
him.
Norris.
Yeah, it just went right into my head. Fucking Chuck Norris anal fisting Tyler Mott. Like,
did Mr. T ever fight Chuck Norris? They didn't cross paths?
Not to my knowledge. That would have been a battle of the ages. I don't know.
He said, "Foo, do something in there."
Yeah,
suck my dick, foo. Try that style. It's called suck my dick, foo.
You redheaded sucker.
This is the pity the foo.
Goddamn ginger.
Kung fu pity the foo.
Yeah. Suck my dick, foo.
We totally need to study pity the foo.
Yeah.
What style is that? Pity the foo. How do you spell that? Shut up, sucker.
Oh, Mr. T versus Chuck Norris.
And then some of it, like in, again, just because of the stuff that he's done, in 2007, he was made an honorary Marine because he does a ton of stuff with
some of those belts. I'm telling you, honorary.
They weren't labeled honorary. I don't know. Like they had, like, usually if they're given belts, it's labeled an honorary black belt.
Yeah. You know? And a lot of those belts were done like before he was even big in the movies or while he was still like before he was a big thing. He was also, he and his brother Aaron were both named honorary Texas Rangers in 2010. And we didn't even talk about that show, but he did Walker Texas Ranger from 93 to 2001.
We don't need to talk about it really.
Cause it's fucking huge. I mean, everybody, I think that's what most people know him for.
Yeah.
I don't think they know him for the early movies and the true martial arts that he did. But yeah. And then of course the memes came out about Chuck Norris, and some of them are just funny as fuck. I was trying to look through them, and a lot of them are kind of played out and aren't that funny.
There's so many you can't come up with one anymore. Except for Brad did that Techo one. That's pretty good. That's a list.
That's pretty good. One that I thought was funny that I hadn't seen was Chuck Norris is currently suing NBC, claiming Law and Order are the trademark names for his left and right legs. I thought that was kind of cool. Chuck Norris didn't dial the wrong number. You answered the wrong phone.
That's right.
You know, a lot of the Chuck Norris stuff. When Chuck Norris turned 18, his parents moved out.
You're not your baby's father. It's Chuck Norris.
Right.
He doesn't breathe. Air hides in his lungs for protection.
Mm-hmm. Right. Bigfoot claims he saw Chuck Norris once. Yeah. there's tons of them, but yeah, wow. that's Chuck Norris. I think he's worth talking about. I mean,
I know I'm watching him do a jiu-jitsu demonstration.
Looks legit.
Yeah. I mean, it's a demonstration. He's showing moves and stuff, right. But
he's rolling.
What era? Like how old is
92.
He? Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, plenty of time. Yeah. How old is he in 92? He's 77 right now. So he's got to be in his late 50s or something right there. Like, that's but crazy.
I mean, he's been practicing the whole fucking time. I mean, he's been a practicing martial artist as well as a movie figure, you know, because you get a lot of, you know, action stars who do TV martial arts, but this guy is a legitimate martial artist who also happens to film it.
Right.
And I think that's to the detriment of a lot of his movies, because his movies just don't show off. Like, they're not, it's not a Bruce Lee movie. It's not fucking Crouching Tiger.
That's the bad part. His martial arts, the choreographing in the movies, they look, it's not bad.
And the filming is, but it was probably like Chuck sitting there like, well, this is what I would do.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, that's cool.
Well, and they did, look they that did good. Say that, like the stuff on Walker, Texas Ranger, like they said that's what kind of appealed to people, because it was kind of like a real life scenario, you know, like
the average redneck could do that.
He wouldn't do anything crazy, but right. Yeah, it did look, because that's kind of what got me too. I'm like, I'm thinking like, you know, like he's got 6 world titles, this and that. I'm like, okay, like you got to give him some respect on that base, you know?
Right.
But I'm like, man, watching the movies and the TV shows, I'm like, this looks horrible.
Well, like, sometimes on like John Wick, man, you see shit that's excessive. Like when you know some jiu-jitsu, you're like, why you wouldn't have done that? Plus you need to be looking out for fucking dude behind you. Why are you spending all that time spinning around and doing all these other things?
But like, if that's the move looks good, you know, whatever, like if the move looks good, you have some sort of style or some sort of, you know, like
I'm saying, even in John Wick and he trains and they have really high end choreography.
Yeah.
There's some shit where you're like,
But Chuck Norris was kind of the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Like all of his films,
get her done.
About let's make this look as flashy as possible. Yeah. It was just like,
he's like, I think I'm going to do this. Yeah. Like, I'm going to kick in the stomach. I'm
going to kick and then punch the guy and then kick him again.
Like, it looked kind of cheesy, but then I was like, I was looking, like, if you look online and actually look at him actually
doing
something and doing demos, like, you're like, the technique's there. Like he has the technique. Yeah. It just doesn't show in the movies, you know, it doesn't show. I wish it did. Like, I wish it wasn't like fucking potato quality, you know,
like I said, I think the best martial arts in any of his movies were in his first movie when he was with Bruce Lee. Because I think that camera crew knew how to film a fight scene.
And it was Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee knew how to film a fight scene. So it just didn't look shitty. You know?
Yeah.
If you've never seen Rap Battles, you should watch Chuck Norris versus Abe Lincoln. Have you ever seen that one?
I think I have seen that one.
That one's fucking good. That's when they were still good. They got carried away.
Right.
But that was an early one, and it was really
good. So if you haven't seen, or like, if you like martial arts movies and martial arts history, it's worth watching the early Chuck Norris collection. B, if you like 80s B movies that are just so bizarre and awful.
I want you to start picking.
Keep watching.
You do the ABC thing a lot. I think it'd be funnier if you were just like A, this, bread, this. Just do some weird shit. This fucking Q and Q finally. Just fucking randomize.
I will take
the placeholders.
I will take that as a note.
Okay.
But so
and race car.
If you like B action movies from the 80s, like Chuck Norris, you're not getting better than a Chuck Norris movie.
No,
like Delta Force.
Well, and he kind of paved the way for a lot of stuff. You know, like
did.
That's Rambo era.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the whole, I mean, all the him like going into Vietnam to rescue people 8,000 times with two Uzis, just sheer.
That's why they pumped the movies out like every year, because he was already there. Yeah. He's already got the costume.
Yeah, they just switch.
They're all, just wipe the black stuff out from under his eyes and comb his hair. We'll just shoot the scene for the next movie right now.
Yeah. Let's just film you fighting a bunch of guys and then we'll do all the dialogue over the next
stand
3 years.
The other side of the bungalow.
He's wearing the same fucking jean vest and they just bring in new dudes, different dress and like fucking kind of turn the cameras facing west instead of east, so they get a different scene behind them, and
pretty
it's just
much.
The next scene.
Yeah.
So they already have at least
Farmer hats on and put on the Castro hat.
We could conservatively say half the next movie's filmed during one movie.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And then we just have to do a couple of pickup shots of like film the villain being villainous before he gets his ass whooped.
Yeah.
You know,
they had magnetic signs for all the army Jeeps. They just put it right over the red dot. Red dot, red star.
They change out a car here or there, you know? Yeah.
That's funny. How many of these guys could look like Mexicans? Okay. Now we're a drug cartel.
Yeah.
the rest of you, it's lunch.
He's like, this is great. My name's already Carlos. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah, and apparently he became Chuck when he joined the Air Force, because one of the other guys is like, Carlos is Chuck, and just
Carlos means Charles. Charles' nickname's Chuck, and then everybody started calling him Chuck. So he became. So he even said, he's like, I answer to both. So if you ever see him in real life,
call him Carlos,
and his mom still calls him Carlos. So if you're like, or I don't even, is she dead now? Maybe, I guess probably. Because I watched a documentary back, it was like 2005
unless she
or something.
Is fucking old
fuck. But it was 2005.
Then again, she
was still
did
alive.
Spawn Chuck Norris. She's probably she's probably an 11th degree.
Yeah, she had a full grown horse.
Yeah,
so 11th degree black belt in the system. Yeah, but she was saying though that she every time she referred to, she never referred to him as Chuck. She called him Carlos the entire time.
That's a trip.
So I was like, man, that's crazy. Like, you literally could call him Carlos, like, and he would answer you. Like, what's up, Carlos?
Oh, I hope I see him. I'm going to call him Carlos.
I can't call him Chuck Norris anymore. It's Carlos.
If I meet any celebrity, Carlos, I'm going to call him Carlos
Norez.
I'm like, hey, look, there's Bob Saget. What's up, Carlos?
What's up, Carlos? Yeah.
What's up, Robert?
Isn't that your real name, Carlos Norez?
Yeah, Carlos Norez.
That'd be funny if you wasted your one chance and you meet like a celebrity, like Bob Saget, and you're like, Tom fucking Cruise. What is up?
What the fuck is that? He'd probably just be like, you fucking dick.
No, you need to figure. You need to figure out someone who's close enough to them that it's a truly missed opportunity.
Like now you call Bob Saget like Adam Carolla. Yeah. Like, you could probably get away with that. Adam fucking Carolla. Is that really you? Can I get a picture? Can I get a picture?
If I see Jean Claude, I'm going to be like, Gilbert Godfrey, I can't believe this is happening.
Who's the guy that looks like Jean-Claude, though? There is a guy that looks like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It's another actor, too.
Yeah,
right?
He is.
Yeah, it's Rob Van Damme.
Oh, it is Rob Van Damme. No shit. It is.
He does look like him. And he does look like it.
Yeah.
And he got really weird when I brought it up.
Yeah,
like,
he does. He always gets weird about it.
Sorry, I brought that up. Yeah. I didn't know that was a no-no. Dave didn't even warn me. Where were you that
It's night? Probably not. It's just, he probably just tired of it. Like, but he did name himself after... I mean, it's Van Damme. I mean,
Van Damme.
Yeah, how are you gonna get mad about that?
Right.
Yeah.
So, he doesn't get mad. I think he
just didn't like you. You have creepy eyes.
I do. Resting fuck face.
Yeah.
We got anything else?
Sponsors, and we have I don't know what the secret's gonna be, but we have a secret to give.
Why is everybody looking at me? I've been giving it my heart.
Because you come from behind. On those stories.
Yeah. I come from behind.
We have to thank someone. Mr. Antihero on Instagram made us a really sick Gary Coleman portrait. It's a General G.W. Coleman. I think he labeled it on the back. So I will post some pictures of that. I've just been super busy and haven't had time. But go to his Instagram and follow and like his stuff. He does really cool art actually on there.
Yeah,
it's a good
painting. Yeah.
And we are listed amongst them now. So it's an honor. And that will go up on the wall somewhere once we hang paintings.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you to that.
We have stuff like laying on the floor.
We have Einstein and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But thank you to Mr. Antihero on Instagram. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can find them at Walmart, Target, the grocery store, mexgrocer.uk.com. Co. You can find them on the Ebby. You can find them on the Amazon. You can find Expired Sauce in Indiana in a small town if they forget about it in the back room. Yeah. New old stock. It used to be red. Now it's brown town, but it still tastes like tomatoes and onions and delicious peppers.
It's vinegary. I'm sure it's good.
Yeah. If it's not bubbling, I think you're safe. If the lid's not swollen, it's trying to pop off. Yeah.
Even so, I mean,
so find
we drink,
it.
We drank fucking 1918 Jim Beam or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. With nasty shit.
Yeah,
nibbly bits. That wasn't supposed to
what
be.
What did you
chunky
just say?
Salsa. Nibbly bits?
Oh, I thought you said something else. I heard nagger bits come out of your mouth.
Said nibbly bits. Got it on record, I promise. Thank you to printdirtcheap.com. You can order printed goods from them on their website and use code SOFAKING to save some money doing it. Thank you to Dark Side Graphics. I said it wrong again. It's De Leon Graphics.
Wow. This is the justice we give you. Would you like to sponsor the show? We'll give you, we'll call you the wrong shit.
But look what a scene we're making of. The spectacle of it makes you remember that it's actually De Leon Graphics.
I was going to say Dark Side Graphics because that's what I remembered.
And someone told me that they realized that they thought it was called Daily, like D-A-I-L-Y, owned graphics, like daily owned. Like, what graphics does that mean? It's daily owned, like the lion.
I thought it was
like,
send me dick pics graphics.
Yeah, like De Leon, like right, fancy yeah pants. Right. Yeah, De Leon graphics.
Like the lion. X. Or what is it? What's day mean in Spanish? D-E.
Of
lion.
Yeah. So, I think it means the lion in that context, though. But yeah, so it's that, not what you think. And there's an X on the end of it, and you can find him on Facebook and Instagram, and he can make you koozies and t-shirts and all kinds of cool stuff. Thank you to Digital Creations. You can find them on Facebook. They make mugs and all kinds of heat press stuff. They make blankets with serial killers or grandma's face. Thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. You can log on to armhunter.com for apparel and instructional DVDs. And that's all I have for that. And Brad is going to come from behind. Really hard.
You really give it to me? I don't have anything.
Well, just tell him thank you very sincerely. Break up with him on air.
Who's his? What's the name?
What is it?
Yeah. Only one.
Yeah, somebody. So
Dan Krillin?
So our Patreon member.
Krillin?
Dan Krillin?
Sounds Russian to me. See if I can find him.
Let me see. Dan Krillin. Yeah.
Should be in the group.
Krillin? Dan Krillin?
Maybe we can find a picture
Dan
of him.
Dan Krillin? Okay. Yeah. Well. So patron supporter Dan Krillin, you can listen. Everybody else, turn off your stereo cassette recorders and your VHS.
If it's machines, dual cassette, turn on high speed cassette, dubbing.
Yeah, high speed. Don't. Yeah, when you're dubbing, don't forget to turn on the high speed dubbing. Turn off your boom boxes, your ghetto blasters with the 8-inch speakers.
Mm-hmm. If you're in Ireland, it's High Speed Dublin.
High Speed Dublin. Yeah. That's actually a badass band name. High Speed Dublin.
High Speed Dublin.
Yeah.
Just a green ghetto blaster.
Yeah, so.
How do you spell his last name?
Krillin.
I-N. That explains it. I'm trying to save you if you stumble on your story.
For what?
Talk crap or something. I don't know.
Me stumble on my story?
Yeah, just no.
He's on point.
Yeah. Like a fill on a dick. So anyway, so Dan,
starting off great.
I guess I could talk about the time that me and Dan went out to dinner.
Yeah.
So I haven't told you guys this story before.
No, first I heard of it.
Well,
was it here in town?
No, actually, we were out of town. We were on a cruise, actually.
Oh, nice. And like the Mexican cruise?
Alaskan.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we went up to Alaska.
You did have Mexican food on the Alaskan cruise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that. I mean, yeah.
You don't have Alaskan food. Yeah. Yeah. That shit sucks. It's just like...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like crab. Russian... It's Russian whale blubber.
Crab?
That's what they eat in Alaska.
Who eats crab meat and butter? Crab meat and butter? Like, it doesn't even taste like anything.
Churned oil.
So, I'll just... From the beginning, you know, Dan, he came pick me up in his 1978 Super Beetle, and it's yellow.
He converted it half to an El Camino, though. It was really weird.
Yeah, it did have a bed.
The Volkswagen front and the El Camino. It was the best of both worlds. Yeah.
Actually, it was a Ranchero bed, not even an El Camino.
The weird part, cheaper, though, on the Volkswagen, the engine's in the rear. So, like, if you rode in the back, you got to watch out with the fucking...
You get
like
tailpipes.
You're getting fucked up.
Yeah. So he came and picked me up. And it yellow is, you know, a little bit of rust coming from the beach. You know, he lives at the beach, has a nice house, nice view. That's where we met, actually, at his house. He was having a party for his grandmother's 98th birthday. But
good genes. Grandma's genes.
Yeah, grandma looks
and
good.
And genetically.
Like, gotta fucked her.
Yeah, she wore bedazzled jeans, though. Yeah. I have to say, usually when old women try to do that to look younger.
Yeah, I forget to admit, Brent was there.
Yeah, it doesn't work. There. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the bedazzled jeans on a 90-year-old Krillin grandma. Yeah, yeah. Them Krillin jeans. It was working, yeah.
Right.
So he came and picked me up, and we proceeded to go to LAX where... Or not LAX, but LA, the docks in Long Beach where the boat was leaving from. So we get there and we get on the boat, we got all our bags and stuff. And he has like, I don't know, like I had a suitcase like men have, like when you go on a week vacation, man has this, you know, Dan, he's got like,
it was like red plush luggage.
Yeah. And like fucking 10 suitcases, yeah, blow dryers, fucking sex toys, like just one whole suitcase full of sex toys. And you know, which things get exciting, you know, you're on a cruise, you know, you never know who you're going to meet.
That's true.
So,
it was called the Anal Bruise Cruise.
Yeah.
On the pamphlet. So, I mean, we were kind of knew what we were in for.
Yeah. Nah. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was exciting. So it was exciting time.
Were the toys mostly innies or outies?
Oh, just an even amount of both.
Okay.
I mean,
I'll be honest. I was nervous and excited. Yeah. I'd never been on an anal bruise cruise before.
Yeah. And there's nothing smaller in that case.
I thought
than
it said booze on the thing.
I mean, then, yeah. Okay. So to our defense, me and Bryn are dyslexic. That's what we thought it said. It was an anal booze cruise.
When in Rome, when in Rome.
Yeah. You know well, anything, you know, like you're like, how did you not know it says anal? But I thought it meant you're going to act like an ass, you know, because it's the booze cruise.
It was just an all booze cruise.
Yeah, and all booze cruise.
That's exactly right. I mean, nailed it right on the head there, dude.
And technically, we were out of town, so none of
us have
to tell you guys.
This is private information. Yeah. But so, anyways, we get on the cruise, we're, you know, having a great time, and it's literally a week to Alaska, you know, and so we get up there, and you get up north, it starts getting cold, like it's frosty out, like. And so one day Dan goes out of the deck of our room. We had a nice room with a king size bed, where we all slept.
Yeah. We all fit on there. All three of us.
It's great.
We did head toe, head toe. I flipped. Yeah.
Yeah.
At the bottom.
Sometimes it was.
Somebody was nibbling on my toe. I'm not going
to say.
It's coming from the right, if I remember.
Yeah. So I don't remember. I was boozed. Yeah. So anyway, Dan walks out on the deck. The room was nice. Like had actually outdoor, had our own what is it called? The little terrace thing outside on the ship.
Yeah. A lanai.
Yeah. So anyway, so he walks out. It is a little wet in the morning.
Slippery too.
Yeah. A little slippery. Yeah. but he slips and falls and hits his head, ironically, on the suitcase full of sex toys.
Oh, yeah. Right? Was he all right?
He was alive. Brent gave him mouth to mouth.
Yeah.
I gave him mouth to penis. I was trying to wake him up. Yeah. I was concerned.
That's a thing.
I was concerned. Right?
You put air in their bladder.
Yeah. I was trying to pump. He was pumping from the top. I was pumping from the bottom.
Sure. Because nothing wakes you up like a dick fart.
Yeah.
So if you put air in their, air in their bladder, dick farts are really high pitched, though. It's all
stop.
So anyway, so he's bleeding a little bit on his head, which helped for lube. But
let's just skip to dinner because it's
okay. Anyway,
I got really confused. Brad gave me the menu. I thought it said salmon. It said a man named Sal. The dyslexia came back into play, and before I knew it, I was fucked by an Italian man.
Yeah,
with a summer sausage.
But fun night. Fun night.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, the end.
And Dan, he paid for everything.
Yeah.
He paid for everything. He was a complete gentleman.
What a sport.
Yeah.
Dave's face. What a sport. Oh, man.
So that was our first combined secret.
Yeah, that was a good secret.
We got a lot of wild stories, me and Brent. We've been friends for a long time.
That was a good
secret. We call it the round table secret.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah. I had the starfish, which I honestly thought it was a starfish. Yeah. You can't blame me.
Yeah.
Can't blame me. So anyway. All right. Well,
Dave had he ordered the salad, but it ended up being Sal's dad. Dave was trying to act like he wasn't there in this whole story, but we're going to bear our souls.
Yeah.
There's a lot of tossing.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a big man. So, all right. Thanks, Dan. Thank you for being a Patreon supporter. And thank you to everybody else who's still listening. So thank you guys. We appreciate it. Go to patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast. And pledge your support, and maybe we can keep doing this. If not, it's next week's episode or the last ones. So don't be a retard.
Sutil on the beat. Powder, powder. You the type of low I ain't feeling.
The type that don't take care of their children. I never ever let a nigga play me. If you get caught, don't say me. I fucks with the hoes and the gangsters. I'm up with the dough yelling thank ya. I fucks with the hoes and the gangsters. I'm up with the dough yelling thank ya. I'm out here just to flourish. Kicking that shit like Chuck Norris. Saint Laurent, staying firm though. Close your motherfucking mouth, you can learn, ho. Real ones know to be quiet. I'm getting money, you should try it. Eating off a digiscale, fish diet. I don't do drugs, let the bitches try it. She get high on the fucking low. She get by, so I fucking both. Now they kissing in the strip club. Few dollars make them do the most. You the type of low I ain't feeling. The type that don't take care of their children. I never ever let a nigga play me. If you get caught, don't say me. I fucks with the hoes and the gangsters. I'm up with the dough yelling thank ya. I fucks with the hoes and the gangsters. I'm up with the dough yelling thank ya. Fake niggas stop acting like you know me. We ain't cool, we ain't friends, we ain't homies. Use a Kit Kat, give me a break. I'm head to toe in Versace, but don't fuck with snakes. Medusa, all is Medusa. I'm a pretty fly nigga that'll shoot you. Catch a bitch eye, niggas that maneuver. Getting head in the Benz is a soother. I fucks with the hoes and the gangsters. I'm up with the dough yelling thank ya. I fucks with the hoes and the gangsters. I'm up with the dough yelling thank ya. I fucks with the hoes and the gangsters. I'm up with the dough yelling thank ya. I fucks with the hoes and the gangsters. I'm up with the dough yelling thank ya. In the streets with the top off, giving niggas every chance just to pop off. They are frauds, they are knockoffs. They are shaman, they are scasso. Tissue, what's really the issue? Unofficial niggas always hate on the official. I ain't that kind, when I blow it ain't a whistle. I am that kind to stand over you with pistols. It is what it is and I feel no remorse. Been married to the game and we still ain't divorced. Harry with the cane, got the powder, get the cost. Doing business, doing fitness, all flows, of course. You the type of low I ain't feeling. The type that don't take care of their children. I never ever let a nigga play me. If you get caught, don't say me. I fucks with the hoes and the gangsters. I'm up with the dough yelling thank ya. I fucks with the hoes and the gangsters. I'm up with the dough yelling thank ya. I fucks with the hoes and the gangsters. I'm up with the dough yelling thank ya. I fucks with the hoes and the gangsters. I'm up with the dough yelling thank ya.